This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
This Day in History, brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com here on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you, my partner Armand Kachigian. Today we bring you April the 12th. Big day, Armand. Big day.
Yeah, some good things.
Contain
happen.
Your enthusiasms.
Yes, I'm all...
You're flutter. You're all Twitter over there. I can see.
I need to take some digitales.
We got the events, the deaths, the births, our book recommendations, everything for you today here on April 12th. All right, let's get started. I've got 1606 to start. What might you have, Armand? Anything before that?
No,
as you peruse your notes.
Nothing happened before that.
The English and the Scottish ships on this date in 1606 adopt the Union flag.
Yes.
Your Union Jack.
It is the Union flag. It is not the Union Jack. That's what it's called.
That's what it's
the
called.
Proper name for
that is
it.
Not. It's the Union flag. I never knew what a jack was other than the thing that you have on the table and you bounce a ball.
Try to pick
them up.
Tire jack?
Oh, but that's not... No one plays with a tire jack. You call AAA.
Oh, boy, you're an aristocrat.
Yeah, you got that right.
All right, anyway. I got to say,
I love this flag.
Yeah, it's the flag. It's on the flag of, I think, like 23 nations and a state.
Ooh, which state is it on? Which state?
Common trivia question.
North Carolina.
No.
Massachusetts. Delaware?
Who? None of the 13 colonies.
Yeah, hit me. Who we got?
Hawaii.
Hawaii, because of Cook.
Yes. Sandwich Islands.
Sandwich Islands.
All right. So, anyway, this is a symbolic of the union of James I, reigning as king, and he's Scottish. So, he's king of Scotland and England, so he decided the flag should reflect that.
And you know what the Scottish flag looks like, do you?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like this one. This is superimposed because these three crosses on here are their saltires.
Absolutely.
I guess,
superimposed. It's St. George's cross.
No, well, that's St. Andrew's in Scotland.
And St. Andrew's flag of Scotland, which is the blue with the diagonal cross.
Saltire.
Okay.
It's called a saltire.
It's called a saltire?
Yes.
Okay. And then if you ever watch the England national soccer team or rugby team play, you'll see the white flag with the red cross on it, St. George's cross. Put the two together. You got the Union Jack.
Actually, there's three now because St. Patrick's has a flag of St. Patrick. I mean, also
for Northern Ireland?
Yeah, Northern Ireland.
And the Welsh flag is really not represented.
Well, they have a dragon on their flag.
Yeah,
Wales is technically England. It's not.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like the Valley in L.A. They're still L.A.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't get their own flag. But they do have their flag has a dragon on it. I don't know where you're going to put that on here.
I don't either. Because England's
cool
associated
dragon,
with the lions. You know, the three lions and...
Well, King George slew a dragon,
Yeah, he did. He did.
Believe that.
They don't exist, but he slew one. They found a lizard and he put a knife through it.
I think it was a unicorn.
Well, it could have been. What's your favorite flag?
Chimera. I'll think about it.
No, seriously, what's your favorite flag?
I don't know. I've never...
You have a list of your top prime ministers.
Who's my favorite chick, maybe, but Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I don't know. Flag.
I don't want her draped in a flag. I want her naked.
Pamela Anderson unveils herself in the Union Jack to you. How does that sound?
No, I want her nude.
And no, she unveils herself in.
Well, what do we need the Union Jack for?
Anyway, well, because to hide the goodies until she's ready for you.
Plus, the English don't have all this, this way you have to fold the flag. Apparently, they have less, there's more less rigidity about how you handle this thing. That's why they have underwear with flags and all that stuff. And what's his name? Austin Powers always wearing Union Jack stuff, remember?
They will slap a Union Jack on anything over there. And it's
not treated, it's not accorded the reverence
exactly.
that we have for our flag.
And what's our flag?
I don't like people to burn it either.
No. What's the flag of the United States officially called? Is there an official name?
I'm not, well, Old Glory is,
the moniker.
Yeah, but that's
not
an official name, no.
All right. I'm really disappointed you don't have a favorite flag.
I don't. I like the Pelican. I mean, Eddie Izzard, like the Pelican on the
Eddie
Louisiana
Izzard
state flag.
Does a whole bit on you can't be a country until you have a flag. That's right.
What's the oldest flag?
That's how they got the English got India. They went to India.
What's the oldest country flag?
I don't know.
The Dannebrog, Denmark. That's all you have to know.
The Chinese didn't have one?
Not a national flag.
Not a national flag.
No. And
I like the checkered flag.
Yeah, I know. Let's put the checkered flag on this show. So anyway, what were we talking? Oh, the flag. Yeah. There used to be the question was, what's the only country that has a one-color flag? And they changed it, though. I mean, it used to be Libya. It was just a green flag. That was it. Green.
Simple.
But they changed it now. So now it's got green,
Saudi
black,
Arabia
red.
Was green and white.
Yeah. This was just a plain green flag.
Soviet Union was red and yellow.
Hammer and sickle. China, too.
You know.
But now
Japan was
white
and red. I like the Japanese flag. I like the rising sun. I'm trying to think here. I like Australia's flag with the stars on it. That's a nice one.
Union Jack on
it. Has a Union Jack on it, too.
New Zealand's flag, too.
I like New Zealand's flag, too. Yep. I like the Canadian flag.
Let's proceed.
Yeah. I like Argentina's as well because they got the sun on it.
Right. Yes. I'm flagging right now. Come on. Let's go.
Brazil. That's a good one.
Anything else?
South Africa. I like that one.
What's your favorite flag pole?
The tall one.
The one with the eagle on the top or the...
No, I like the one with the
The halyard?
Yeah, the halyard.
I don't know what the hell. There's all these, there's all these parts
of flags. Did you used to have to raise the flag at grade school?
No.
As a daily thing?
I never did.
You never did?
I wasn't even, I think I was a crossing guard once when I was in sixth grade.
Did your grade school do that? Where they would send a little platoon of kids out there to raise the flag?
We were very poor. We didn't have a flag.
Yes, you did. We did. Every day. There would be somebody. And then as the flag would go up, the kids would put the hand on the heart or somebody would salute.
Those days are long gone.
Then the janitor would say, time to go in.
All right.
Well, hey, I'm serious. That's what we did.
Our janitor was a pervert. Sniffing ammonia.
All right. Let's move on.
Fondling children.
1776, North Carolina, the provincial Congress there authorizes that their delegates vote for independence from Britain. Way to go, North Carolina.
Good idea.
Son of a gun. I didn't think they would have been first, but they are. That's called the Halifax Resolves.
Yeah.
Why the Halifax Resolves?
I don't know. What
the hell did Halifax have to do with this?
I don't know. Halifax is obviously in
up in
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia, yeah. Right. 1861, Battle of Fort Sumter, Armand.
Yeah, here we go.
Now, you have...
Lincoln got what he wanted. He chivvied the South into fighting, firing the first shot.
The war begins with Confederate forces firing on Fort Sumter in the harbor of Charleston.
Sumter. Fort Sumter. And nobody was killed until ironically, the Union surrendered. And then, they had to fire a 100-gun salute to the South.
Oh, no.
And somebody died while that happened.
Oh,
they set
no.
off some cartridges or something, and two guys died.
Oh.
So that's the way it goes there. So it's
how do you explain to the mother of that soldier?
I don't know. I don't think you tell her the truth.
Oh, God.
And Abner Doubleday did fire, I think, the first shot.
No kidding.
Yeah. For the Union, yeah.
So there's
that's
a true,
true.
There's
yeah,
a truism
true.
About Abner Doubleday
there.
Yeah,
he didn't baseball, but he fired the first cannon and missed. But not a whole hell of a lot of damage.
So you're saying
it was
a ball?
Cannon.
Ball? It was wide?
Yeah, it was off the plate.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Not trying to be funny, Armand. I'm just
this
trying.
This is war damage.
Just trying to get your hackles up. This next one I really like.
Lincoln did because this is all unnecessary.
The Andrews Raid of 1862 starts on April 12th. This is referred to as the Great Locomotive Chase. This, I think, there's a screenplay in it for you.
Buster Keaton already made a movie.
Yeah, okay, but
General.
You could do a new one because this is now
you can't top that. That's one of the greatest comedies.
The
of all
General.
Time. The General, Buster Keaton, 1925.
Yeah, no, but see, okay, that's one of the things I always misunderstood. The General is the name of the train.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the name of Keaton's character.
No. His Keaton's character was Johnny Gray.
Gray. So they start from...
Which is because he's a Reb, of course.
He's a Reb. From Big Shanty, Georgia, which is a hell of a name for a town.
I like that name.
Why they changed it to Kennesaw?
Kennesaw Mountain Landis?
Well, first commissioner of baseball.
Yeah, after
the
dick, too.
After the Blacks. Oh, real, real.
Yeah, that's why.
Real hard edge.
They wanted an asshole, and they got one.
And they got one. So what happens is the unions, the union troops basically send in a little special ops raid.
Yeah.
And they embed with the rebels. Because you just walk them, you know, and join a unit. And they do. And in Big Shanty, they basically commandeer a train. They cut the telegraph wire so that they can't send a signal north. And they take off towards Chattanooga.
Yeah.
You know, they have the engine and like one car.
Stealing a locomotive, yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
Pretty ballsy.
It's really ballsy. And they got chased on foot because as you go uphill, you're not going very fast.
Yeah.
And as they stop at each place to try to, you know, ruin the track, destroy what's behind them, well, that's cutting your average speed down more. Then they have to make their regular stops at the stations ahead anyway because they still need water and wood. They still need stuff to burn. So they have to come into the station, and they say, who the hell are you guys? And they say, hey, special train sent, you know, here. We got to get through. And this works until, you know, the guys who are chasing them start to catch up. But they're gonna ruin the line between Atlanta and Chattanooga. That's about 90 miles. That's a hell of an adventure. I really do think this deserves a new movie.
They already made a movie.
I know.
About it.
That's 100 years ago.
Not quite.
Almost. Didn't have sound.
All right, you write it.
Okay, I think I will. I'm going to look this one up. This is good stuff. This is...
Weekend at SCOTUS is better.
I'd give you that. 1927, Shanghai Massacre. Chiang Kai-shek orders the Communist Party of China members to be executed in Shanghai, ending what's called the First United Front.
Didn't execute enough of them because they came back later.
They did.
Thanks to Dean Acheson.
With a vengeance.
Truman.
And Chiang Kai-shek would wind up on Formosa.
Yeah.
And we still have that problem today, which hasn't ended.
Never will.
Never will. 1928, this one I really, while Lindbergh is the first to go from the west to the east, a German Yonkers W-33 makes it from east to west, the first successful transatlantic airplane flight.
Now, wait a minute.
Here going again, in that direction.
That's not exactly true because, what's his name? What was it, Anders and Babcock or whatever? They were the first to... Lindbergh was the first to go solo.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only, you know, several had gone, you know, across the ocean. That's not the first flight. Like I said, it was some Babcock's one. I don't know what the other one was. AB, I remember that. So I think it's Andrews or something like that. Anyway, or Anderson. So I don't know. Apparently this thing, just because some Junkers went across the ocean.
Yeah, but it goes in the opposite direction.
I know,
against
but it wasn't
the...
solo.
No, they don't.
Solo.
But they don't proclaim it to be solo.
Right. Well, so it's not a big deal.
I think it is.
I don't know
because
why it matters to Lindbergh.
You're going against the wind. It's significantly harder.
That's true.
Whenever you fly west for any duration, like for instance, go from the middle of the United States to the West Coast.
Yeah, I know. It's just due to the rotation of the Earth.
Add an hour.
It's a Coriolis effect.
Add an hour.
Yeah, that's because the Earth is spinning.
Yeah. It's because you got wind in your face.
Well, that's what's created. The Coriolis effect creates that current, that air current. Although, from what I gather, they fly over that anyway now. So I don't know if that makes sense anymore. There's no weather up there where they fly. That's why they're up there. So I'm not sure. The jet stream and all that stuff, that's not up there. That's 5-6 miles in the air.
Well,
7 miles
in the air. At 39,000 feet, you still will get turbulence. So there's
some. But I'm not sure if that's due to the rotation of the Earth and wind. I mean, you still have atmosphere.
Yeah.
But I don't know about weather. And wind.
No, you're above the weather.
Well, you're way above the weather.
You can
in the troposphere.
Right. You can look down on the weather.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the wind, too. I don't think the wind's up that high.
But what's
it's pretty rarefied air up
what's
there.
Yeah, because, first of all, what's the average air temperature up there? Like minus 76 degrees or something?
Yeah, but then it gets warmer again. There's the thermosphere.
Yeah.
I got to figure out what that's all about. I don't know why. That runs contrary.
What's the highest a jet can fly? Is it around 90,000?
I don't know. Those Blackbirds and stuff. Or those U2s.
U2s were up at 70 plus. Yeah.
That's why they said they'll never hit you. You're too high. And Francis Gary Powers.
Tell that to Gary Powers.
Yeah, he learned that. That's not necessarily true. But that's pretty damn high.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm laughing about
that.
Well,
you know what the Karman line
is. But his thought that day, hey, look at this missile coming at me. It'll never hit me. Nah.
I don't think he saw anything. He maybe heard it on the radar screen, but he didn't see anything. Anyway, the Kármán line.
The Kármán line.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Demarcation between the atmosphere and space.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's 62 miles or 100 kilometers, I believe.
Okay.
So whatever that is.
Do you go zero-G at that point, or is it still?
Nah, I think that's just a, you know, some sort of, this guy came up with.
A little arbitrary?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, congrats to the Bremen.
Those Germans,
it made a nice flight.
They're enterprising people.
Speaking of aeronautics, 1937, the first ground test of a jet engine designed specifically for an aircraft is held at Rugby, England by Sir Frank Whittle.
Yeah.
37.
I still think it's impressive. We looked that up, I think. Wasn't it a Heinkel that's the first
operative
fighter and all this? I think the Germans got him beat, but Whittle had the, yeah, this is... Well, obviously, it just says ground test. That tells you all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just firing it up.
Yeah, they're not flying anything.
And a jet is not...
He's still credited.
But a jet engine, and I don't know about this one, it's not designed to operate at ground atmospheric pressures.
Well, I wouldn't think. But...
You know. What's next after the jet engine? Have you heard how efficient they are today?
Ion propulsion.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, there's going to be all kinds of stuff in space that they can use. They're going to use solar wind. That big sail they got and all that, which makes sense. But still, I don't know. I don't know if they'll ever get to like even 10% the speed of light. That'd be kind of nice.
Well, that'd still be incredibly fast, but...
Well, that'd be about 18,000 miles per second.
Yeah.
That's humming.
That's humming. And still, it would take you months to get to another star. Years.
It's going to take you 40 years to get to Proxima Centauri.
Well, let's go to Alpha Centauri.
I'm talking 10%.
10%, 4 light years.
Yeah, times 10.
So that's 48 months. Reduce it by?
What do you mean months? We're talking about years. Well, I said 10% the speed of light.
Yes.
It takes light 4 years.
Right.
Okay, 10%, 10 times, 40 years. Think about it.
Now,
when you get to Jupiter and stuff, you know,
yeah, you can go
Mars
inside your
quick.
You can go inside your solar system.
You'd be at the moon in a couple seconds.
Yeah,
you'd be the sun.
But it's not going to help you.
Minutes,
go, it's not going to help you go.
In,
yeah, it's not going to help you go interstellar.
No, I'm not going to get you to.
It's not even worth. Not even worth it. Damn.
Well, what you're going to do if you got a ship, like, you're going to send people there and they're going to colonize it.
Well, they're going to be
300 years later.
They're going to be different people when they get there.
Well, yeah, but if you're going, 10%, you're not going to get much time dilation. You start getting pretty close when you get 80, 90%. You don't age like we do.
Yeah.
You know, we'll sit here on Earth.
Right.
And you're going 90% the speed of light. You won't age that much.
Right. We'll be long dead and buried, and they'll be arriving.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that's fascinating.
It's like that lousy movie.
Interstellar?
Yeah. Which...
I hated it.
Went crazy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
one of the Christopher Nolan films
I
did not like.
I don't know what
like.
The hell the whole point of it was.
No,
but
nothing.
Remember when he came back and his daughter was his older than his mother or whatever? And that would happen. But that was due to gravity because he was on that neutron star.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, because gravity will do that too. You know, these guys that are up in the International Space Station,
their time's
like a second less.
Their time's different. Yeah.
Yeah. They've measured it.
The clocks,
of gravity.
The clocks are very conclusive. You know, the clock that they synchronize them, they send one up in the capsule, they come back, they're different.
Yeah.
Now it's minute difference.
Well, of course.
But it's
billionths
different.
Of a second or whatever, but it's, it proves Einstein's theory.
1945.
A good day.
Harry Truman becomes president of the United States.
Well, that's the downside.
That is because Franklin Delano Roosevelt dies in office on this day, April the 12th, 1945.
Yeah, and it was supposedly real unexpected. Well, it wasn't unexpected to anybody that knew him. And you know, I mean, Churchill saw him at
Yalta
and was like, "This guy's a dead man."
Yeah.
You just tell he looks horrible.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to die back in November. Even before that, his doctor, Dr. McIntyre.
Why did he run
in
44?
I don't know, because, you know.
Continuity?
The guy was a demagogue, and he thought that, you know, nobody could run the country, especially in war, without him. Like, as if we couldn't beat the Germans without him. Anyway, the guy's an egomaniac. You think Trump's an egomaniac? This guy thought he was God, literally.
Well, I think
this dispelled that notion.
I think there's several presidents.
But anyway,
you can
apply
they told
that him
to.
Why do you think he made Truman vice president? Because Henry Wallace, he didn't know he'd been kicked out at the convention. He had no idea.
No idea.
Booting him out. Why? Because everybody knows he's a socialist nutcase. mystic and all that. This, you want to talk? He's a goofball.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't have this guy as president. So Roosevelt knew because his doctor, Dr. McIntyre, who wrote a book, told, you know.
Said you got six,
yeah.
Seven,
yeah,
probably.
Said, you're not going to, if you go another term, you will not fulfill it, which is 4 years. That would have been not even close. So anyway, and by the way, all his medical records were in a safe at Bethesda. They've been missing ever since. Nobody will ever find those.
Wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
I'm not a conspiracy guy, but he knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that does. Did. Yeah, that does. It doesn't beg the question. It entertains the question.
Does it beggar the imagination?
Yeah, as it beggars the imagination. No, they didn't beggar that. But that's that's improperly used when they say begs the question. When you say begs the question, no. You're literally saying the question answers itself.
Yeah, that's not, I don't.
It's not like it begs the question has to be asked.
Right.
No, it invites the question. Sure. Or so when people say that begs the question, no, that's a question, you know.
I gotcha.
Is this show boring? Well, that begs the question. Of course it is.
No.
Oh, by the way, haven't we just had our millionth listener?
We're getting there.
What surprise?
A date with you?
Oh, you got it. Well, it depends on the gender of the winner. We better make sure.
We got some good birthdays today.
Okay.
You ready?
Well, let's hear them.
I'm going to start in 1484. What do you got?
I was going to start with Henry Clay, but I don't know who this guy is.
Well, it's Antonio de Sangallo the Younger, the architect who designed the Apostolic Palace and St. Peter's Basilica.
I thought Raphael said there were people on.
I think this gentleman, you know, Antonio the Younger here, is really credited with the palace.
I'm talking about St. Peter's.
Well, the Apostolic Palace is part of the Vatican, Armand.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying. But St. Peter's Basilica.
The Basilica.
Yeah.
Is not your big cupola.
No, the Basilica is a cross-shaped.
Yes, that's the cross-shaped church.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was on a trivia contest, ask who designed St. Peter's, I'd say Raphael.
You wouldn't say Michelangelo. Or Michelangelo.
Yeah, one or the other.
Well,
but
keep in mind,
guy.
Antonio the Younger could be a
Antonio
possible
the
answer.
Younger, the older, the middle child. Antonio, I don't care who the hell it is.
Antonio
this
the
guy, this guy's a poseur.
Antonio the unexpected.
Yeah. Antonio the mistake. I'm going to look this up.
1777, the 9th United States Secretary of State born. Yeah. And if you have ever been in a Clayville or a Clay County, this is the gentleman,
he's
one Henry
of the big,
Clay.
He's one of the big three in the Senate. Clay,
sure is.
Calhoun, and Webster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big Clay fan. This guy, he the compromise of 1850, of course, yeah. Or the corrupt bargain. We've already gone over.
Oh,
that.
Yes.
You know, the 1824 election, this guy.
Yeah. Where John Quincy Adams leads by majority, never has a majority in any situation,
right,
and becomes president of the United States.
And Andrew Jackson didn't like that much. But anyway, this guy shifts all his votes to, although, suppose, I don't really blame the guy because he was fourth. And he said, you know, he basically said, I support Jackson because I agree with more of the things he says,
mm-hmm.
which he did. Not Jackson.
Adams.
Adams, yeah. He was, you know. And, of course, he got Secretary of State for this allegiance. And so, anyway.
Got an answer for me?
Not really. Now, Bernini designed the elliptical piazza. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, the Vatican is a whole mishmash of architectural guys.
Too much. There's Bramante et al. Numerous architects.
Yeah.
Donato Bramante.
That's a good name.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
a good name.
Design, Michelangelo of the Dome.
The Pieta, Dome.
Bernini,
yes.
Cathedral. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
I really think
there's
this.
There's no answer.
I think this is the apostolic
here's
palace.
Here's a lesson. Don't ask that question.
The residence of the Pope. Okay?
I thought he lives at, doesn't the Pope live at?
Our current one does.
Well, I don't care about the current
yes,
one.
Yes, you do. You love
you
him. He's a great guy.
I
know he's a great guy. I'd love to have a beer with him. I think I'm going to have a beer with him.
God. As long as it's poisoned.
1870. Right. Come on.
He's one of the war hawks, Henry Clay. Henry Clay was actually, knows what he's talking about a little bit. 11 children.
Yeah.
A gambler.
I like that.
Duelist. Had a couple of duels. I mean, back then, that's the way you did it.
Attaboy.
He kind of, he was one of the war hawks that sent us into War of 1812. I don't like him for that. Tariff of Abominations. That was him, of course, to pay for infrastructure and, this nonsense. Him and his If he had 50 slaves, can't blame him for that. And you know, everybody did.
Not everyone.
The Compromise of 1850, that really, I don't think that delayed the Civil War. I think that really caused it. Because you know me, when they strengthened those fugitive slave laws, that was what caused the war. These tariffs and the fugitive slave laws, that's what caused the Civil War. Because if you got, think about it, if you don't have these fugitive slave laws and the slaves know they can go right across the border or whatever, run away, you're going to, eventually, the South's going to realize, and we know economically and with technology, that it was running out anyway. But since the North did promise to send them back, which they did, that was it. You know, there's going to be no end to slavery, not by that those means.
No.
It had to be war.
Nope. You make a fair point there.
Well, I didn't make the point. I'm just reading this stuff.
1874, William B. Bankhead born. Yeah. American lawyer, politician, 47th Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yeah, but that's not why we love him.
Nope, that's not why we love him, Armand. In fact, we love him for a different reason.
Clip coming on.
We love him because he is the father of one.
Yeah, our favorites.
Tallulah Bankhead. Who this classic story we shall play again today on the show about her encounter with one of the Marx brothers.
Tallulah Bankhead first came to New York. She came from the South. Her father was Speaker of the House of Representatives, but the family high in society and politics. And there was a party, and Chico wanted to meet her. And she had just taken New York by storm on stage and every other way. And a witty woman. And they said, Chico, you know, you're famous as a lady killer. Groucho said, we were at a party, and we said, Chico, this is a great lady. And I emphasized that word. And Chico said, for Christ's sake, I can be a gentleman, you know, that I'm an idiot on screen, on stage, but okay. They were brought together. Miss Bankhead, this is my brother Chico. Chico, this is Miss Tallulah Bankhead. Chico said, I want to fuck you, Miss Bankhead. And Tallulah said, and so you shall, you old-fashioned boy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we talked
so
about
damn
when she got out of the hospital, she almost died from a syphilis or some kind of a, you know, STI and sexually transmitted disease, STD. And she goes, as she's leaving after 6 months of intense, you know, they thought it's all over. She goes, I hope you don't think this has been a lesson to me. I need a man. You know, she's great. She was.
So that was Dick Cavett, by the way, with Mel Brooks telling that story.
And we've told it too.
Oh, God, it's a good one. Yeah. I'd like to take you to some event where you pull that.
All right, yeah. If I were Chico Marx, believe me, I would.
I think that'd be great. 1898, Lily Pons, French-American soprano and actress. Where do you rate her on your soprano list? Is she a big one?
No, not one of my favorites. But, I mean, you know, not bad, of course.
Okay.
She had a great voice. But this gal, she knew more. We talked about her before. She's the one with the pet ocelot. Remember?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's stylish.
In New York?
Yes.
Like, get rid of that damn thing. It was snarling at everybody. Yes. Don't keep a, you know, get a goldfish.
Pet ocelot.
Yeah. Yeah. That was part of her little shtick. You know, this gal was like, she was really good at marketing herself. That's why her voice wasn't that great. But, you know, that's why I loved her at New York Met. And she was a kind of a local, you know, famous woman, because she had the mass marketing, and they really say opera really didn't have an analog until Pavarotti came along, because he's not so great either comparatively,
right?
But he had a good PR man, and he knew how to.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he did.
But Lily Pons, in fact, I think there's a town in Maryland named it Lily Pons, Maryland.
Mm, very good.
Yeah.
Now I don't
pretty
think,
lady too. She's
I don't think Armand, there's a town name for this next gentleman born on this date, April 12th, 1932.
Oh, tiptoe through the window, by the window, that is where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulip with me.
The very fact that that song made it, made a big deal. You know, he was a big guy.
I know.
He was big in the 70s.
Can I say, I don't get it.
I don't know. Well, that just goes to show you the times. But he married Miss Vicky, remember, on the Tonight Show. I saw her in Playboy. I saw her. She needed breast implants.
No, she did. Well,
yeah, she's too flat for me.
1936, Charles Napier.
I like him.
You like him? Yeah, good American actor.
He was in a couple of those. He was in a couple of those Russ Meyer movies, I think. He knew what he was doing. He was also the judge in Philadelphia, remember?
Yes. Yes.
See him. He was in, and he was also in Silence of the Lambs. He's one of the cops that got his face torn off.
Oh yeah,
Charles Napier.
They're in their garden, Hannibal.
Yeah, yeah.
In Memphis, they got him in a room. Right. There's a cage in the middle of the room. They bring him his food.
Yep. One of the cops was Napier.
He takes something out of the ballpoint pen, palms it.
Yeah,
then picks the cuffs.
Right.
Oh yeah,
so
that's
you
right.
See this guy. Yeah, he's been around.
All right. Let me get your thought on this next guy. This next guy, he's noted really as a jazz guy. This was my introduction to Herbie Hancock, born in 1940. Remember this?
No.
Did you have MTV as a kid?
Yeah, but I never watched it.
You never did?
Nor listened to it.
This was on MTV.
What is it?
This is the song, the instrumental Rocket,
oh,
which had a very unique video. And if you were an early disciple of MTV, you could not escape this song. I don't know how much airplay it ever got on radio.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
And it
sounds a little familiar.
It's probably been used in movie soundtracks from time to time.
You wouldn't call this jazz.
No, it's not.
Right.
That's the thing. It's fusion, whatever.
Yeah,
it's a whole lot of things.
Fission. All right.
Had a great drum beat, though. There's your melody.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, that I've heard. Okay, that's Herbie Hancock. Okay.
Yeah.
What's this called?
Rocket.
All right, not bad.
But
yeah, all the chicks were dancing to it.
R-I-C-K. Oh, no, I'm sorry, R-O-C-K.
Yeah.
I-T.
I got it. With a dash, I think. Didn't it have a dash or something? Well, maybe not.
Well, not on the 45 it didn't, but I've seen it with a dash. Yeah, Rock It.
Okay, now I remember it.
Yeah. It's a cool jam.
All right. Yeah, that's all right.
And I, learned a little bit about Herbie Hancock later on.
Probably toxic to brain cells, but I guess,
it could be.
It's so smoking.
Right. 1941, born on April the 12th. One of my favorites. Very rarely do I ever buy a shirt with a guy's name and number on it. This one I did.
What did he play for?
He played for West Ham in England.
West Ham.
He was
like 24 years, right?
Oh, yes,
like
yes.
A long career.
Forever blowing bubbles.
Only,
that's their song?
Only team he played for, right?
West Ham in England. That is correct.
Well, give him his name. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Two defenses back. Ron LeBone and Bobby Moore. John Mulder is coming. Just need to bring all the way to go. And Moore stops it. What a player this fellow is.
What a player.
He was on the World Cup team, right?
1970 World Cup final. That highlight was from. He, of course, captain.
He wasn't with 66?
Yeah, he was.
Okay,
captain of 66. But that was a great tackle on Jorginho with 1970 Brazil.
What happened to them in 70? They didn't make it. What did they get?
This is a semifinal.
Semifinal?
Yeah.
Brazil?
Brazil would go on to win that World Cup. And it was truly maybe the best football side ever put together. The 70 Brazil team.
Brazil
a
team?
Lot of people will say that's like the 27 Yankees. But Bobby Moore,
think the other semifinal, wasn't that the game of the century?
Oh, it could have been.
Was it Germany and Italy or whatever? They had, they scored like four goals in overtime.
It was pretty crazy game. It was that Mexico,
that'll never happen
that again. 1970 Mexico World Cup is truly one of the,
that was a good one.
It's hard to beat the quality of that World Cup from the, the prelim games to the knockout games down to the really, really good stuff.
Except Brazil won. I hate Brazil.
Well, they got on a roll, and that was Pelé's last World Cup win.
Good.
So, also born on this date, 1947, Tom Clancy, who sadly passed away in 2013. I loved his books.
I read a couple of them.
Hunt
for Red October. Patriot Games.
I got on board right away, and I don't know why, but I picked up Hunt for Red October as a pretty young kid at a bookstore.
Yeah.
And loved it. And then his next book was a massive job called Red Storm Rising.
Never read that one.
Yeah, it's in between Patriot Games and Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, still same guy. What's his name?
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan.
Yeah, I think so. It's a massive, battle between the Soviets and the Americans, and they've always wanted to make a film of it, but it's prohibitively expensive to even try to film it.
Since when does that stop anybody?
No, I know,
days?
But
That's interesting.
Clear and present danger.
Yeah.
Cardinal of the Kremlin. They were really fun to read. Not great literature. They're just fun.
No.
That was fun stuff.
It's mulch.
And they made good movies. 1947, David Letterman, born on the same date. He's pretty. He's something in retirement, Armand.
What do you mean?
Oh, he's having a good time.
I don't blame him.
He is having a good time.
He's probably richer than Croesus.
Yes. 1949, happy birthday, Scott Turow, the American lawyer presumed turned author.
Presumed innocent.
Beautiful book, beautiful movie.
I never read the book, but the movie was pretty
good. The movie was good. Raul Julia.
That gal in that was good looking.
Oh, that's Greta, that's Greta Saatchi.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, and she does a turn in that movie.
Woo! Man, he got her on the desk.
Oh,
I got to watch that scene again.
And here's the thing. She is so hot that she makes Bonnie Bedelia, Harrison Ford's wife, look absolutely pedestrian.
Yeah, well, any man is going to say, yeah, I can see that happening. You know, that doesn't.
And Bonnie Bedelia is a good looking woman.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She's not this girl.
Greta Saatchi made her look like roadkill.
Ooh.
1956, Andy Garcia born.
I liked him in Godfather 3. He's the only good part of that movie.
Okay.
Crap.
Now, we can debate Godfather 3 if
I
you
like it.
I had no problem with it.
No, but I'm compared to the other two.
Well,
yeah, if it just came out on its own, you'd say, okay, it's a marginal gangster movie.
It's a fine film.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Mediocre.
You know,
the other problem with it was that, and I don't blame him, but they didn't have Duvall, which would have made a big. I mean,
they had to replace him with Mr. Tan.
Which, okay, but that character is nobody. He's a nobody. Tom Hagen, you know why he didn't do it? You know, and he's got a point here. He said, listen, I don't mind Pacino getting more money than me, but he should be making three times the money I make. So screw you. I'm not doing it.
What'd Diane Keaton get then?
I don't know, but, well, I guess
the
not,
film
not
normally takes flack for Sofia Coppola.
Oh, she's awful.
No, yeah. She wasn't.
Ugh. You think that's acting? She's terrible.
No, I think it was a kid in a supporting role, and that's what
it
was.
Well, that's because what's-her-name got sick.
It's because...
Who was supposed to be? Was it Naomi Watts?
No.
Somebody
she's
got sick.
The crazy lady now.
The one that was... Who's the one that steals stuff?
Yeah, that's her. That's what I'm talking
who
about.
Who is it? The kleptomaniac.
Right.
Right. Okay, well, anyway.
We're thinking of the same person. We just can't think of the name.
Yeah, but I mean, she's just, I don't blame her.
Come
I mean,
on. Okay. She was in Winona Ryder.
Yeah, right. She was called to duty, but I mean, come on.
Winona Ryder was supposed to play that part.
Right.
As Mary.
Right.
At the last second, she drops out.
Right.
Coppola stuck.
I don't know how stuck you can be. You know, anybody would have been.
You know how they made that up to her?
Who?
Winona. They cast her in Dracula.
Oh.
To.
I don't know why they made it up. She got sick, right? He didn't kick her off.
No.
From what I read.
No,
I
but they. I don't think she
but
was.
But that's not the only weakness. I just didn't think it was a great story. I like Montaigne was pretty good, but it killed him halfway through the movie.
I did like the
plot. So it's over.
I did like the plot. Where he's absolved by the Pope, who then gets off.
Right. That wasn't a bad.
That was a good.
I don't know.
And I do think the scene where Mike.
Like I said, it's not a bad movie. Compared to the other two.
It's
not a good movie.
Where Michael confesses his sins in the courtyard to the Pope to be, I thought was really strong. I thought that was a good moment for Pacino.
Some scenes. I like to get those two assassins, a guy and his son.
Yes.
Okay. But they didn't have much to do either. I mean,
I'm
just saying that most of it was. K-pop.
All right.
In my opinion.
I'll watch it again. I don't mind.
Yeah, give the two. Four stars.
How'd you like Andy? By the way,
Garcia was good.
This started with Andy Garcia.
And who was the gal he banged at the beginning? Remember he was in bed with her when those guys showed up?
Yes,
she was a good-looking
gal. Oh, yeah, she was hot. I'd have to go look that one up. How do you like him in the Ocean's movies?
I don't like the Ocean's movies.
Why not? Because they're not the originals?
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Those movies were made for the Rat Pack, and you can't put Elliot Gould in there, you know, or Brad, whatever the hell, Matt Damon.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, George Clooney.
Brad Pitt in those two?
Yes. That's Rusty.
God, I only watched the first one.
Don Cheadle?
He's okay. I mean, they're not bad actors.
Carl Reiner's
I just don't
in
want
it.
To see
Carl
them.
Reiner's in it. Can you watch it because Carl Reiner's
no.
in it?
No. I'll watch God. Dick Van Dyke's show.
All right. 1979, happy birthday, Claire Danes. I love her in Homeland, one of my favorite TV shows, which Armand does not watch.
I don't watch any TV. Fox News, Jeopardy.
Oh, please. Do you eat dinner at 4:30?
No, I save it till 7 because I want to watch O'Reilly while I'm chewing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See how many. Never mind.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Make
just
a comment.
How many assaults today?
There you go. Thank you.
13 million. 9 to 1.
13 million assaults?
13 million in payouts. 13.
All right. So
9 to 1 lady.
Well, he's paying for his sins.
Sure is.
Hey, if Chico Marx did it, you'd think he's a stud, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I just think he insinuated doing a lot of that.
Hey, come here, lady. I want to grab your pussy.
Somehow coming from Chico.
It's just charming.
It's softer, right?
Whatever.
Somehow coming from the current commander-in-chief, it's a little vile.
A lot vile. Okay.
1955, back to the events. Mm-hmm. Something that is declared safe and effective happens on this day in 1955. The polio vaccine, developed, of course, by Dr. Jonas Salk, gets the seal of approval.
Right.
Why now? Why April 12, 55?
Because probably the FDA had something to do with this nonsense. Oh, and here's the other thing about the FDA. The FDA is supposed to certify things as safe, not effective. Read Milton Friedman on this. That's why the FDA is so screwed up. All they're supposed to do is say, this stuff will not kill you, okay? That doesn't mean they're not supposed to judge efficacy of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're way out of their depth here.
Well, where does the, effective is subjective, well, any way you slice it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, okay, that's not their business to say, oh, hey, wait a minute, we're going to take this off the market because it doesn't work. Well, a hell of a lot of things don't work.
Should you take placebos off the market then?
No, placebos work, and then even when people know, remember that? I don't know, I think I was on Ocho mm-hmm. Man, I was talking about that study.
Yeah.
30% of these people got better, and they knew it was a placebo.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
That tells you the power of the mind. Even when you tell someone, hey, I'm giving you a sugar pill.
It tells you the feebleness of the mind.
But it cures cancer. Well,
what?
It's the placebo? It's the feebleness of one mind, but the inner mind is like, okay.
Well, you're better off relying on your mind than chemo, but. Anyway, I'm just saying, safe and effective. Who cares about effective, okay? That'll come out when it comes out.
1955. Could have been sooner.
Well, he came out 54 is when he developed it. So it's not that long.
Okay, really? It got to market? Okay, to market
54
quick.
54 was when he developed it, so it hadn't been that long.
1961, the Soviets beat the U.S. into manned space flight. The first human, it's Yuri Gagarin, aboard the Vostok 1, his manned orbital flight April the 12th.
Yeah, but that was von Braun again. Werner, he was so careful and stuff. We could have beaten him by 3 weeks if, he had to take
every precaution. He wanted to be sure.
He's like the FDA.
He wanted to be sure.
So that's kind of tainted.
Move 20 years forward.
You want to have dinner with Gagarin anyway.
I do. It would have been
just
cool.
Like his nice smile.
1981, 20 years to the date, STS-1 launched successfully. That is the space shuttle Columbia. And I remember that date pretty well because we watched that in fourth grade. That was the day we rolled in the TV sets and watched that sucker take off.
Yeah.
That was fun. I'd also seen, do you remember the one, they had a test glider, and it was called the Enterprise, that they would take it way up and then drop it off the top of the plane.
I don't remember him doing it. I do remember it was piggybacking on
Yes.
Well, 747.
On 747.
Yeah, that was at the beginning of Moonraker, by the
That's
way.
That's right.
Thing.
Okay, so one day, a couple of years before, Columbia, they landed one of those in St. Louis. At Lambert.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I don't think it's big enough for that thing to land.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And we went and watched the deal, and it was really something. And, they put it back on the 747 and took off. It was amazing. But it was just a glider. There was no functionality to it other than controls and flaps and things like that.
The plane that had it on piggyback.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said
And then they let you tour the plane.
All right.
They didn't let you tour the glider.
Right.
And they let you tour the plane and, a whole bunch of
that was a prototype.
McDonnell Douglas, Rockwell, all those aviation types.
Morton Thiokol.
I don't think they were there because there were no O-rings involved with that thing. But my dad knew somebody, who worked with Rockwell and, we came out and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Rockwell?
Rockwell Aviation.
Oh, I thought you meant the guy that sang.
No.
Somebody's watching me.
Somebody's watching me.
I always feel like, that's Rockwell, isn't it?
That is Rockwell.
Right.
Very good, Armand. I'm loving that. Okay. 1992, Euro Disney officially opens, one of the dumbest decisions ever. in my book.
I don't know what's the matter with it.
Well, they built it in
Paris?
Outside Paris. It's now called Paris or yeah. Disneyland Paris.
It makes money, doesn't it?
I think it does now. When they first built it, though, it was actually cheaper to catch a flight and go to Orlando.
What do you mean? I mean, it's so expensive to go there, you mean?
Travel inside Europe wasn't always English. The English in other countries much rather preferred to go to Orlando for two reasons. One, it's warm.
Yeah.
Two, you're in Florida. You can do other things. Three, because remember, you're not in the euro yet.
Yeah,
the pound,
good old days.
The pound, the franc, the Deutschmark, the lira were very effective against the dollar, and Orlando became the favored destination for British tourists. There was a point because I know you're not a theme park guy, but there was a point where if you were at Disney in the 90s as an American, you felt like you were visiting another country because you didn't hear much English.
Okay, well,
and you saw a bunch
of this place
of,
still exists, right?
It still does.
All right,
it
so
still
it's got to be successful.
Yeah, but they've had their
that
issues.
That refutes your theory right there.
But they've changed it up. They've
I
had
don't
their
think it's
issues.
Because of the euro either.
1999, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, now this guy's okay because he's a Democrat.
He's
right?
cited
yeah.
for contempt. No, no, right. You're never okay when you are in contempt of court.
Oh.
Ever.
How about a rapist?
Ever.
Is that okay?
Don't know if he is or not. He's certainly a philanderer.
Well, I don't blame him for that. So was Henry Clay, but
yeah. There's no doubt about Bill and his predilections,
his peccadilloes.
Yes,
but anyway,
peculiar as they may be,
they're not that peculiar. It's just,
no, they're pretty. He's actually
pretty
average.
What he wants to do is not peculiar.
Exactly,
that he does it, and he has no control of his appetite.
He's pretty. Yeah, he's pretty. Average.
Although I think Gore still made a big mistake not enlisting him. He probably would have won the election if he.
Well, he ran from him. Like
I know that was a. I don't know who.
Here's the thing.
I don't know who told him to do that.
I don't want to say anything sexist here, but a whole bunch of women didn't give a damn.
Yeah, a whole bunch of women don't give a damn about Trump either.
Right.
He won the white women vote.
Oh, by a lot.
People know. The point is, people know that men are swine. Okay. The only thing
coming from two swines?
Right. Well, one anyway. I don't know about you. You're kind. I'm swine. But, you know, here's the thing. Yeah, we all have these desires, but we have to suppress them. When you're Donald Trump or Bill Clinton, you don't have to. That's the, or Errol Flynn or any Charlie Chaplin or any of these guys. So, I mean,
I agree with you.
Checo Marx?
I do.
Right?
That part's fine. Here's the part that's not
fine.
You can't. You can't be in contempt of court. You can't make
right.
intentionally
well,
false
well,
statements
that was the problem he did. He's,
in a civil
right.
lawsuit.
That's why he's a dumbass. He's
right.
Listen, yeah, I'm a swine. That's between me and my wife.
Right.
If my wife
that's
put
a private
up with
issue.
It, screw you.
It's a private
right.
issue.
And
but when I lie,
yeah.
when I lie to a court,
right.
now it's a public issue.
Yeah, but even then, I don't think the guy should have been impeached. But maybe, I don't know, maybe this qualifies as a crime.
No, but here's what happened. He's fined and disbarred.
Yeah, because he lied. Yeah, but this we're talking about, this is 99.
Totally appropriate.
He did lie to the Senate or whatever. Or he lied to, what, a grand jury? I don't know. Some of these things, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
I did not.
But maybe the cover-up.
Sex.
No. Let me do it.
You do it, Ben?
I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky.
America.
Yeah, that's better. Smile when you say it.
I don't think you heard me.
I don't
me.
Know what is. What's the definition of is?
I love melons.
That's better.
Frank
yeah.
Caliendo does an amazing bit. On
yeah. Anyway, like I said, I didn't agree with the guy's policies.
Sure.
But here we go. Look at JFK. Same thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Degree. He is the Hall
and
of Fame
his
leader.
Too. So that's what I'm saying. That's my point.
Get caught in the White House pool
with
an intern.
So for people in this day and age to be outraged when a guy says, yeah, you know me, I'm a big star. I can grab anybody's pussy. We know that. And even if you do it, yeah, that doesn't make you, that makes you a dog and a swine, but it makes you a man because that's what men are. It makes you a man with immense power. Do you agree with that? And I think women realize that. Men certainly should.
Mm. I wouldn't say it.
How about King Solomon? He had 900 concubines.
Yeah, I know.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I bet he grabbed them in the crotch.
That's biblical.
Okay.
No,
that doesn't
apply. I don't think he needed
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he's in the Bible.
All right. Who died on this date?
All right. So anyway.
Before we get to
like
the deaths.
Hypocrisy, that's all.
What do you think the event was for us today that affects the world we live in the most? It's got to be the polio vaccine, right?
No.
No?
Either Gagarin, I guess, or the death of Roosevelt, but I don't think that had much to do with anything.
No, I don't
although if we didn't have Roosevelt, we wouldn't have Truman. If we didn't have Truman, we probably would have got Atchison in Korea.
If we didn't have Salk, we still would have had polio for a while. You might have been born with polio.
I don't think he's the only one. They were working on Saban and those other guys. They were working on it.
I vote for polio.
That's a great thing, but...
I vote for the vaccine, all right, declared safe and effective.
Let's split the difference. Euro Disney.
Oh. Euro Disney. Okay. All right. Who died on this date? Armand, I start in 1912. What do you start with? Anything earlier?
I got a couple. 1817, Charles Messier.
Messier?
Yeah.
Oh, he was a good...
hockey player. Oh, yeah, you would think that. No. Here we go. Your lack of any knowledge of astronomy. This guy still has the Messier catalog. 110, you know, like Messier 1, I think, Andromeda or something.
Oh,
like
okay.
Yeah, he cataloged.
The galaxies?
Speaking of the Euro Paris, this guy's in Paris. He had a little telescope, and he's, well, he didn't know what they were back then, a nebulae or whatever. But he did know that this is not a comet. That's basically what he's trying to say.
Did he know it's not a comet and it's not a star?
Whatever, yeah. He's trying to figure out what this shit is. He doesn't know what it is, but so he catalogs the stuff that he sees.
Give me the name again.
Messier, M-E-S-S-I-E.
First name? Claude?
Charles. Charles to you from the Clinton County, but to a Frenchman, Charles. As like Charles Gounod.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this guy's very important in astronomy, and we still use. He had 110 of these things, and we still use M number. They'll say the M number.
Oh, the M
that's
number
what it stands for.
Stands for Messier.
Yeah.
Very good. I like this guy.
And of course, Boss Tweed.
Oh,
yeah, 1978. We all know Tammany Hall, dude. Yeah. Very rich, very powerful. He died in 1878, and I don't think anybody really mourns his passing unless you're, a city official who was on his payroll.
If you're on the grift.
That would have been
graft?
Great.
Grift?
Graft.
Graft.
Grift is a, you know, grifters, well, you know, the grifters.
No, the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's
when you're running cons.
Yeah, all right, grift. All right. Graft is graft money is, for,
You're running really bigger cons.
Graft is what Joe Kennedy did in, Chicago.
West Virginia, too. Don't forget that.
New Orleans, Chicago. Mm-hmm. What made this country great. Okay. And remember who's a cheap grafter? Who's the guy in Citizen Kane he was running against? Remember that? Ray Collins played him. God, what? I'm going to put you in jail. You're going to go to jail. What was his name? Getty. Getty.
Yeah,
going to jail, Getty.
They didn't even change the name. They just Getty.
Getty, yeah.
And they changed it.
Getty's.
Yeah.
Big Bill Getty's, I think his name is.
Yeah. Ray Collins. We all know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about John Paul.
Well, I don't know about him.
He is.
No, I don't know.
It's Hearst versus Getty. You know that's what
Getty was an oil man. He wasn't, he wasn't a big politician.
No, he's a big philanthropist. Could have gotten to politics at any time if he wanted to, just like the Rockefellers. But they realized it's better to be the kingmaker than the king. All right. Who else you got?
I don't think I've got anybody else besides what you have.
All right. 1912, the founder of the Red Cross, the American Red Cross, Clara Barton, passes away.
Yeah, battlefield nurse. Her last words, I put these down, let me go.
Let me go.
Those are good last words,
yeah,
I guess.
It is. 1945, of course, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I think his last words? Yeah, I think they were, I have a terrible headache. I believe that was
well,
his
he
last
did.
Time. I didn't
Even,
write it down.
You
I
know, the day of,
from memory.
The day of Pearl Harbor, he had severe headaches because he had something akin to chronic sinusitis.
He had everything. He was
and
dead
he, you know what he took for it?
Cocaine. Yep.
To reduce
Dr.
the swelling.
McIntyre.
To reduce the swelling in the nasal tissues. Yep.
Yeah, it reduced the swelling in his brain.
Too. 1970.
I'm looking up his last words.
Last words?
Okay, go ahead.
77, Philip K. Wrigley.
Now, is this the chewing gum guy?
It's in the family. Founder of the Lincoln Park Gun Club is what he's noted for.
It says, no doctor, nothing more. I thought he had a terrible headache.
Mm. I think he probably did. 1981, Joe Louis.
Yeah, great fighter.
There's a great
still has a record, I think.
We have a picture, by the way, in our office here at lineupmedia.fm of Joe Louis's funeral attended by Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, all the greats.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a hell of a picture because he's buried.
Is he in Detroit?
That's where he's from. I think so. Yeah.
I mean, he has a record 12 years. And he had the bum of the month club. Remember
the bum of the month
club? He beat up a guy every few weeks, but he fought, man. He didn't.
No, he fought.
I'm sure he still has the record for title defenses.
Boy, did the IRS hated him.
Yeah, well, he was in debt a lot.
Boy, and they kept the meter running on him his whole life.
This is a guy that he's the one that. Well, actually, I think that's actually Sugar Ray Robinson, who we're going to get to in a minute.
It's funny, though. Abby Hoffman died this date, 1989. Sugar Ray
Chicago 7.
Robinson,
yeah.
Not Leonard, Robinson, passes away. Same date as Joe Louis, just 8 years later in 1989.
Yeah, for my money. Now, this is the guy that, the word entourage. Apparently, mm-hmm. He's in Paris with all his guys, mm-hmm. which he called friends. He didn't like that term. And I guess it was a busboy or something was serving him, or a waiter. Anything for your entourage, which means attendance in French.
Oh.
So he didn't like that because these are my friends. He had a secretary, he had a masseuse, bodyguard. This guy, he never went anywhere without. He has a little midget mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, these people all with him wherever he went.
Entourage
that's
means
where it comes
attendance.
From. Yeah. So that's what started it, though. That was Sugar Ray's entourage. No, nobody had that.
Well, now that's fitting.
You got money, Mayweather, and all
that. Yeah, well,
he's got his entourage.
Those are attendants. And entourage on HBO, Turtle certainly was an attendant. So is Johnny Drama, even though he's Vince's brother.
Watched a couple of episodes.
They're very good.
His name's, though. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
They're very good. He's not really.
Did they make a movie of it?
Yeah.
Was any good?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Right. It's not the half hour episodes were always the best because they were really fast paced. The movie.
Well. Sugar Ray had a pink Cadillac. He liked He liked to be
that
seen.
Style.
Yeah. And he liked his women, of course.
Can you imagine just rolling out in a pink Cadillac, sir?
Yeah, flaming pink.
And I think the GM color code on that is actually something like, it's got a great name, like Calypso Coral.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a real cool name like that.
Sizzling salmon.
But we all know what it is. It's a hot pink Cadillac.
Yeah, it's like, what's her name? The gal Jane Mansfield got her.
Oh yeah,
ran to a tree. But yeah, he's. I still think he's the greatest of
pound
all time.
For pound.
Well, that's what they invented the word for this guy.
Right.
They had to compare him to Joe Louis and all those other guys.
You had to.
But the St. Valentine's Day Massacre
and immortalized in those fights against Jake LaMotta.
Yeah.
Which
1951.
Whew.
The hard luck round.
Whew.
That's on YouTube. Just
no,
watch.
It is. Let
he
me tell you.
Pounds the hell out of
you,
him.
Regardless of what you think of Mike Tyson, he's a real student of the sweet science.
Oh, was he?
He's got all the fights, and he knows he's watched them all. If you go back and watch Sugar Ray Robinson fights, you realize, okay, this is a guy you can drop into any era, and he's going to be successful.
Yeah, well, I think so.
He's going to be successful. In a perfect world matchup, if I could match up Mayweather Robinson, if I could have matched up Hearns and Robinson, Duran and Robinson, even Sugar Ray versus Sugar Ray just for fun.
Yeah, well, LaMotta was, apparently a couple of those fights he did get robbed,
Oh, yeah.
He won one, but he lost five, I think. He fought six times.
God.
But, Robert Sugar said he could deliver a knockout blow going backwards. So,
Bert's one for hyperbole, but
yep.
I mean, very few know the game of boxing as well as Bert does. So,
I'll trust him. Well, here's the thing about Sugar Ray Robinson. This is what I tell, because, I have arguments with a good friend of mine about the best wrestler of all time, college wrestler. And my criteria is, who did you beat?
Yes.
And when you look at who this guy beat.
Oh.
It's hard to,
It's a Hall of Fame.
It's not how many wins you got or like Rocky Marciano's undefeated.
49-0.
Who did he beat?
It doesn't matter.
An old Floyd Patterson, or whatever. Right. Young, I don't know who he beat, but an old Joe Louis, mm-hmm. Young Floyd, whatever. I don't know who he beat, but nobody that would just say, wow, this guy really.
Look,
Tyson beat some pretty big dudes.
The guy fought the Hall of Fame, essentially.
Yeah. Carmen Basilio but who's the only man to knock him out? We discussed this last month, I think.
Damn it.
Joey Maxim. Remember that fight in June? It was really hot. It was at Yankee Stadium, and even the referee passed out. What was that guy's name? The referee. We liked his name, the referee's name.
He had a good name. He did. He should have been a boxer with a name.
Anyway.
I got one more death.
Time.
I got one more death. Here you go, Armand.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the
I know you love this kind of music.
I didn't know this guy sang it.
No, he didn't write it, but he does sing it. Yes. He covered everything. Boxcar Willie. of probably infomercial fame before there were infomercials. When on any local television station, they would have one of those things where you can buy the 30 greatest country songs of all time, and Boxcar Willie seemingly would be 10 of the 30 because they were cheap compilations to put together. Sort of like a country K-Tel, Armand.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's how I got to know the guy. But I like the, I've always liked the Wabash Cannonball song.
Does he sing that?
This is him right now.
Or the, he hasn't got to it yet.
To the,
well, it's coming. We're traveling through the jungle on the Wabash. Oh, there it is. Okay. Ball, okay. Isn't that what Dizzy Dean used to sing?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, a couple things about Joe Louis I should have pointed out.
Yeah.
First boxer on a U.S. stamp. I didn't know that.
Yep.
And he used his, you know where he got the money for his boxing? To join the club and do it? His mother gave him money to study violin. See? Could have had a great violinist.
Damn, that's
there.
Right. And there's a great documentary HBO.
Yasha Heifetz.
HBO did about 10 years ago on him.
And then, of course, his famous statement when they asked about Billy Kahn and
yeah.
How quick he was. He can run, but he can't hide.
Can't hide.
That's a good
so
one.
So good. That's, that became a lex. You know,
yeah,
look, he said something that became.
Now, part who's of, the one that was it? Dempsey said the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Well, I don't know. Was that Dempsey?
I think
Dempsey?
So.
Against Carnera or whatever? I don't know. No, he didn't fight Carnera.
Primo?
No, he didn't fight. Joe Louis beat Primo Carnera. Who's the big guy that huge guy that he falls like 6'10"?
Oh, I don't
the
know.
The Ambling Alp or whatever. Yeah.
That's such.
Jack Dempsey knocked him out of the
damn,
ring.
Those names are so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. We'll look that up for next time.
We're out of time, folks. It's been a fun day here. April 12th, we're in the books. Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. For Andrew Allen and for my partner, Armand Kachigian, I'm Tony Hubert. And when April 13th rolls around, we're going to be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.